Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Sunday morning. All right. Fun Sunday. How about that? All right. Our sponsors today, Bronze Roofing, Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated, the Belleville Meat Market, and Boyd's One Stop. And I'm Captain Mickey Eastman. Producing this morning is Jace, and looks like weather. Let's get to it. Galveston, 84 down on the island this morning. And today they're calling for partly to mostly cloudy skies with scattered thunderstorms during the morning, high of 87, east-southeast winds 10 to 20, that rain chance about 40%. A lot of scattered showers all out in the Gulf, but we'll see and wait till later, see if any of them move inland or even have some pop up in here on top of us. But tonight, mostly clear, scattered thunderstorms. They'll develop after midnight with a low of 79. East-southeast winds 10 to 15. That rain chance tonight bumps up to about 60%. And then for tomorrow, showers in the morning, then partly cloudy in the afternoon with a high of 87. East-northeast winds 10 to 20. Rain chance 50%. So some would welcome that. Some wouldn't. All right, looking at tides for today, these are Galveston Channel tide predictions. We have four of them. We have a high coming up at 7:07 a.m. That'll be our strongest one. It's a 1.3, coming off a negative 0.2 last night. And we have a low at 11:24 a.m., a 1.1, and then a high at 4:02 p.m., a 1.3. And then that low tonight, just before midnight at 11:42, it's an 0.0. So once that tide bulls up today, got a couple inches of movement either way, low and high. 6:45 a.m. sunrise, 8:04 p.m. sunset, moon phase is full. And right now, currently, the buoy offshore 22 nautical miles east of Galveston showing 85 degrees with 87-degree water, southeast winds at 9 to 11. Eagle Point, 84 degrees with 89-degree water, south-southeast 8 to 10. Morgan's Point, it's 84 degrees with 88-degree water, east-southeast wind 8 to 10. Miles per hour. And a real quick update on the star leaderboard. It's all brought to you by your Texas Ford Dealers Academy Sports and Outdoors and Progressive Insurance. Still just two red tags have been brought in the Texas Ford Dealers red tag division. That's for a truck, boat, motor, trailer package. Gary Merchant of Houston and Nate Appella of Hallettsville, they're the only two. In the blue tag division, that's for a transport boat package. Steve Isaacs, Mitchell Mays, Robbie Pratt, Brian Cook, and Alfred Williams are the five that have shown up with tags in the blue tag division. Sheephead leader right now, still Eric Harper of Houston, 9 pounds, 10 ounces. Gaff top leader, 6 pounds, 14 ounces. That's Cherie Andrada. And that big black drum by Jason Smith of Sour Lake, 17 pounds, 2 ounces. That will be tough to beat. He might have him a winner there. And looks like Kingfish Division still hanging at 51 pounds, 4 ounces. That was caught by Leslie Maven of Grosbeck and Dorado. Jack Brinkman, 37 pounds, 4 ounces. And Ling Cobia. This will be another one that will be really tough to beat. 93 pounds, 5 ounces, caught by Cody Milton of Corpus. And Joseph Hansen still hanging in there with a red snapper at 25 pounds, 8 ounces. So good luck if you're fishing in that. A couple of categories there that might not be touched. It's pretty strong. All right, well, let's get to our phone lines and get the show rolling here. And no better way to start off than old Captain Jeff Naylor from Freeport this morning, South Texas Salt Life Adventures. Jeff, what's up, man?
What's going on, Captain Mickey? How you doing this morning?
Oh, just living the nightmare or the dream, whatever you want to call it. I'm here, buddy. I don't know, man, what it is this Friday, weekend. Man, I hadn't been wanting to get up. I've been wanting to stay crashed.
I'm going to tell you what, man. I mean, this calm winds and, beautiful seas and all that kind of stuff, it comes with a price, man. Oh, it's hotter than Hades out here, man. Wow.
Yep.
This is the first time we did a trip on Friday, which is part of our giveaway to the Southern Outdoor Dreams banquet from last year. And I actually, I if I didn't have a heat stroke, I was really close, man. I mean, I was, I started getting dizzy. You know, I had
a fine specimen like you.
He but I'm a, telling you, you know, surprised me too.
Young,
you know,
and, but and healthy, man. That's scary for all us old people.
Man, but you know, and that was just how hot it was. It was just baking. I mean, just baking. And you know, one of the most unfortunate things is the bite has been real. It's been hot and then dead, hot and dead, hot and dead. You know, and. So we got up against those one of those shrimp boats, man, and just started going 90-0, you know, and you know, you got to capitalize when they're underneath you, and just worked myself too hot, I think, and you know, it's kind of one of those things that creeps up on you, and I tell you, and I didn't feel good for it. Was it took a couple hours to kind of get my energy back and stuff.
Oh, I
you
bet.
Know, it was terrible. So, yeah, I mean, this heat is just brutal. And, you know, everybody I've talked to, Casey came in last night, too, same thing, yesterday evening. I mean, they're just baked. Everybody's baked. So, but, I mean, we got a little rain last night. Grass got a little something to drink. And
good.
You know, little micro mosquitoes are out. So, it's summertime in Texas, baby. I mean, that's what it is.
If I could get up some, get some rain, I'd put up with the mosquitoes.
I'm telling you.
Hey, man, I watched two smokers coming right at me yesterday and just started ragging apart. Trinity Bay just tears them to pieces. I thought,
oh, wow.
Then Future Cash is showing both of them are going to smoke me. And on the second one, my wife goes, I bet you $100 this one gets us. There's no way it can miss us. I said, wait till it gets about 2 miles from the shoreline. It'll just rag apart. And it did. She owes me $100 and won't pay up either.
Oh, man. Classic. Yeah. I mean, we got, you know, here in Freeport, of course, we got the Dow Chemical, which is ginormous, and they always call it the Dow Bubble. And, you know, there's actual factual basis to that a little bit, you know, whether that actually, you know, is significant enough or not, I don't know, but... Yeah, it'll kind of break up and do the same thing. And, man, you know, these showers, shoot, there's several of them out. I mean, you know, you see them out there offshore right now.
Yeah, the gusts full
spotty
of pop-ups everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and a few little small ones about every, you know, dump on me for about 5 minutes every, you know, hour or so for about 4 hours straight. And I'm perfect. My grass will, it'll love me forever. It'll love me long time.
yeah. there's one they're showing one that's coming in. It's going to go across the old rollover area, and it's going to head right across the refuge and into Trinity Bay, you know, between Smith Point and Anahuac, headed straight towards my house. That's the Future Cast, I can promise.
Yeah,
you.
Go hurry up and make that bet with your wife, you know, text her right now.
If it's so looks like it's coming your way, just run to Umbrella Point and park your boat. It'll split and go around you. You won't get wet.
Is there any scientific basis of it, or you just, is that?
I don't know. I mean, the old timers on all the maps and old charts, that's what that point's been called. I live off of there, Umbrella Point. It may be called Umbrella for a reason, just for that very reason.
Very weird how some of that stuff happens. But, yeah,
and
man.
I know it
I
catches
mean,
hell in hurricanes.
Impervious all the time, huh?
Yeah,
man. It's but you know, again, and when it's so hot like this, to be completely fair with you, I don't these little spotty showers are actually a welcome sight for me offshore.
They don't turn into big old grizzly bears, you know. Yeah,
sure, absolutely. But when they're real spotty, you know, I can go left, right a little bit, you know. The fishing, I talked to a lot of the guys, you know, right now I'm looking down at the park and there's got to be, I mean, it's still at nighttime when it's, oh my God, I don't know where all these people are staying at, but I mean, they just got trailer to trailer, truck to truck, all the way down. I mean, it's insane. And I was down there, we had some problems on the yellowfin yesterday, so we had to pull the boat out, sure enough, it was a little small tick when I came in on Friday on my port motor, and it was just kind of tick tick tick, sound like a right. sewing machine, very faint. Couldn't
injector.
No, you know what it was? It was the lower unit, and as it turns out, you know, that lower unit, that shaft spins constantly in there. So if
right.
you have a bearing in there that's loose or a gear that's got a little shaving off of it or something, you know, it'll have a little bit of slop and it'll have that little bit of tick in it. And believe it or not, that sound travels like 90% efficiency up to the head. So you take the cowling off and you swear that sucker's right at the top. I mean, it's
tick, sounds like it's going to blow up.
You know, it does. It really does. And so, you know, we took it off, you know, diagnosed it, tried to figure it out, couldn't, you know, took the lower unit off, tick goes away. Started the motor, tick goes away.
There you go.
So it's the lower unit. So anyways, we're down on a boat. So I was running around getting another boat lined up for today. And you know, I was down there messing with all the guys at the boat ramp, and seems like the inshore bite seemingly was a little slow yesterday. Either that or they just got tons and tons of pressure, you know. But
what, inside? Yeah, it's the bite's been off. I heard that from a few guys yesterday. You better get them early.
Really?
And I mean, yeah. Once that tide gets up, that's it. It's pretty much over. The bite's null and void. It just, everything goes slack, especially with it being calm and no tide movement, and as hot as the water is, you got to have some moving water bring those cool currents up off the bottom.
Sure.
It helps.
And even the surf guys were telling me, too, that they said the bite's slowing down quite a bit out there. Now, the tarpon guys are out fishing the last couple of days. I didn't really get a good report on the tarpon here out of Freeport, but I know they were out chasing them yesterday. One of my good friends, you know, said they found a pretty good little school of them on last week on Tuesday or Wednesday. And so I would imagine Mr. Plog, I don't know where he's at, but he's got to be pretty close or out there chasing them himself.
I'm sure he's running down your way somewhere. It's a little early for up here, but this will kick in. We'll get those big, big fish, you know,
yeah.
By September.
And I'll tell you another thing. Last Sunday when we left our vet's trip, that's a whole nother conversation, but there was just, I mean, massive, the shad, those little menhaden were just offshore the jetties for about a mile. I mean, they were everywhere. You could see those little pops. I distinctly remember driving and still being in them thinking, wow, this is a massive amount. Casey went out Tuesday. He said it was a massive kill. That pretty much all of them died.
There's too many of them got together and depleted oxygen, man. They do it every time. They're their own worst enemy.
That's crazy. I mean, it was massive. I mean, they were still out there yesterday, you know, just handfuls of them. I tell you what, there were so many pelicans, and I'd say coming through the jetties the last 2 days is just, I mean, you're lucky not to smoke one. I mean, they're literally just... cords
brown,
of
brown
them.
Pelicans.
Yeah, big yeah. Old pelicans. I had to pull the throttles back a few times just because they were so thick, you know. But you know, I all that to be said is that you know, there's a lot of bait in the water right now, or there was at least last week, and now it kind of died off, so I'm not sure if that changes things a little bit in the surf, but it certainly seems like it would.
It may, you know. And well, that surf's been clean for several days now, real clear, and that kind of deters, especially for lure fishermen, it kind of hurts their bite. Live baiters still do pretty well, but it does change things. Let me knock this break out. I'll be right back at you, man.
Okay.
All right. Bronze Roofing. You know, folks, Bronze Roofing's been in business 38 years. They specialize in new roofs and repairs with free estimates. And another plus, they're open 7 days a week. And you can call anytime, and you can get seen the same day for quick service. That's what I like about Bronze. And each roof, it comes with a 15-year warranty, and Bronze works with your insurance company, and they guide their customers through the process. That saves you a lot of headaches. They know their business. They know what to do. Visit bronzeroofing.com. That's bronzeroofing.com. Or give them a call. They're open 7 days a week. 713-645-0505. 713-645-0505. That's Bronze Roofing. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. 418 here in the Bayou City. All right, Naylor, we're back, buddy.
Back in action.
Back in action, man. Well, you've had a pretty good blackfin bite on shrimp boats, huh?
You know, it was dynamite. It was the best I've seen all year. We actually, it's been kind of bleak, man. And really, you'll find that when you get closer in and around that full moon, you'll start to get those real funky bites. And, you know, it's about like anything offshore. The full moons really start swaying the bite, you know, sometimes good, sometimes bad, you know, it all depends on when and where and all that. But, yeah, we had them balled up underneath the boat. And I tell you, man, I mean, previous to that, it was onesie twosies, you know, it was really slow leading up to now, you know, and the bite a couple weeks ago, kind of hot. And then it's, you know, tapered off quite a bit. And now, you know, Friday, we finally got a good little ball of them you know, it was pretty nice. And this is actually, Friday was the first time I've actually seen the bonitas. So the bonitas were real thick underneath them, and I haven't seen that all year yet. So, yeah, it was, overall, it was a really great trip, aside from being just hotter than Hades. But, today is going to be big fish
like that, and you're so busy, you know, trying to help everybody and running back and forth, and, man, all the stuff going on, and you don't take time to drink any water or anything, and you know, just hey, it don't take much for me. I'm outside working in this stuff, doing something around the house, and man, I gotta go sit down and take a break. Jeez.
Oh, I'm telling you, I mean, that was a huge lesson learned for me, especially just stop and drink water. And you know what, shame on me, because the bite's been so tough for the last several weeks as far as the shrimp boats go, that when I got them balled up underneath there, I'm thinking, man, these things are about to go away. I have to capitalize on this. You know, sometimes you might only get 15 minutes. You know, who would have known it lasted an hour? You know, golly, I mean, that's a lot. You almost forget about it, you know. And but yeah, definitely do that, because it was a little bit of a scary moment. I mean, I've had them out there before, but pretty rare, you know. But yeah, that was great. We got some mahis. We got a few little mahis working the boat. We didn't get too many. When you get the big crowds and stuff go out there and they hit these boats like they are these last few days, man, it's everything starts get a little bit weary of you, you know, and it gets a little tougher and tougher to get the bite going or get them to eat your bait anyways. And those mahis, I think they've been hit on pretty good. They were liking it. You know, I had a couple of bass rods. We finished up our blackfin. There were still some of those mahi hanging around. I let them throw the bass rod, little topwaters, and watch some little suckers chase the topwater lures. I mean, it's hard to beat a good mahi bite, you know, especially when you get to, you know, break down the small light tackle and, you know, throw some, you know, trout lures and stuff like that at them. That's a lot of fun for me anyways. I enjoy watching them chase that lure. But, with that being said, the first round of Bisbees was last weekend too. It was pretty slow. As a matter of fact, it was really slow. Good friend of mine, Steve Carousel and his guys were down there fishing it. I think they caught like six, blues the entire weekend.
That is slow.
It's super slow. And ironically, they were telling me that the bite the week before was like one of the best they've ever seen. So, luckily, you know, here in the Gulf right now, I saw yesterday several white marlin being caught. So I don't know that the bite's as hot as it was here in the Gulf. as it had been in the past, but or early in the summer, but they're still hanging around too. And
I heard in the Legends tournament, there was a few boats that really got on an unbelievable bite. It's what James was telling me yesterday morning.
Oh, they're smoking it down south too, and really, you know, very typically, you know, the first part of July is real hot here. Then they start kind of moving down around August. A lot of the big boats will actually start migrating down south, Colt 45 and all this kind of area down there. And it seems like they stayed fairly spread out, you know, which is good. That's great. But between Tift and Legends, those are two tournaments this year that it's not factual based, but I would bear to say between those two tournaments right there, those are the two best as far as bite goes of the whole Gulf of Mexico this year. I mean, they were just dynamite. They were throwing up crazy numbers.
Yeah.
And, you know, our lack of, which the turnout has been seemingly much slower the last few years as far as tournaments go. I didn't ask the first leg of the Bisbees how many boats were in it, but it just seemed to be in general, you know, tournaments are slowing down quite a bit. And so that's saying a lot, you know, if you have that many fish caught with less boats, you know, that's pretty good thing. But lots of bait out there, man. I tell you what, there's not a place that we drove in the last few days that just wasn't mats of flying fish going everywhere. You know, little patchy weeds, nothing real stacked up. But, I mean, there's all kinds of food out there for them. So it doesn't surprise me they're hanging around.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, it is prime bite, though, right now. I'll tell you that.
You called a shot on the snapper a month ago. You were saying, man, that's just, you know, you've seen this before. And they'll get more plentiful and bigger as we get into the season. You were right about that, man. There's just some beautiful snapper being caught this year. Toads.
Yes, indeed. You know, that comes all the way back from the old school guys, like, you know, Casey was talking about. You know, this is not something, I know it's unusual. We haven't seen this kind of in and out type of bite, you know, in 10 years or so, but this is not, historically speaking, though, this is not that crazy. It happens, you know, it's just a pattern, you know, some sort of pattern. Now,
right.
I'd love to put some data to it and figure it all out, but I got nothing. You know, some of the places I'm seeing snap right now that you just generally don't see them, you know, very like anomalies, you know, wellheads, just random stuff. I mean, you know, I remember a few years back I was fishing the shrimp boats, and it was later in the year. The snapper bite had gotten real slow, and I was cruising around hitting all the shrimp boats, and I was pulling up to a shrimp boat, and my screen just lit up from the bottom to the top, and I was thinking, what in the world is that? You know, and I dropped down, and sure enough, it was this giant school of snapper, and seemingly I had nothing marked. There was no anomalies on the ground. There was no reason for them to be there outside of, you know, just mud. I mean, there was nothing there. And I think it's just not that uncommon for them to kind of move around. And, you know, Casey brought up a good point. He said, man, look at all the shrimp boats out there. You know, the shrimpers are out there shrimping because the shrimp are out there. You know, those shrimp crawl along big balls. And, of course, those fish are going to follow those, you know, those bait fish around, or the shrimp or whatever, all their food source, you know, so that they'll, big old school of them will go by a rock or something like that, and they'll pull them all off, or, you know, it's not crazy to just see them out in the middle of nowhere, you know, and not on your typical rock. So,
yeah. Well,
so, luckily for us, I mean, it's paying off in spades right now. Just, you know, the bites have been getting, you know, different each year. The last couple of years has been a little off, but you know, they're still there. So 25 pound snapper on the leaderboard, that can't be that bad, you know. And I want to say that's like about the third or fourth 25 pounder I've seen this year. There's several of the big cash snapper snapper, I believe, is about 21-ish, 21.5. You know, Johnny Walker over in Galveston just plugging away at them, at those toads. And I'm not sure if he's broke 25 or just didn't have somebody on the boat.
I don't know, but
registered
he's had piles of them in the 20s, man. He's been pouring the coals to them.
Yeah, yeah.
You hear me advertising that bigcashsnapper.com, that free snapper tournament on in September? It's a one-day deal anywhere in Texas, on the Texas coast. You can take your team out, how many ever you want to fish. You bring the next day, you go over to Matagorda to Rusty Hook Ranch and weigh them in, your three biggest snapper. And it's a free entry, $5,000 for first, and I think $2,500 for second, $1,500 for third. Plus, they got side cash pots on Big Lean, King, Dorado, and Snapper under that. You know, that'll cost you to get in those cash pots, but the tournament itself for the three biggest snapper, free of charge. How about that?
There you go. There you go, everybody. Hear that one. Go win some money.
Yeah.
For sure.
And then a big party afterwards and fundraiser for their Junior Anglers Association. They have live music and food and drink, everything.
Man, and they got it set up down there, too. I'll give them a
have you been down there to see Wade's place?
I sure have. Yep.
It's nice.
I've been building. Yes, it is. It is super nice. And they got some awesome captains, too. You know, I saw Mike Kubeka, I believe, fishes with him. He's like a swordfish king down there.
Right.
They got some really good folks that are in their little organization. You know, when I slow up here, I'm going to go rent him one of these weekends. Put me on some fish.
That sounds just like something a guy to do. Go on vacation and book other guys and go fish for other stuff, man.
I mean, ironically,
I've been
that's
there and done
exactly
that, bro.
How it is. Yeah, I know that's right. We're actually our Africa trip is coming up, man. We're leaving August 21st.
Dang.
And we'll be back September 1st. And and speaking of that, I think Casey's going to do one of the weekends. I'm going to try to do one of the weekends down there, depending on how the
cell service
is. Yeah, but I'm still planning on doing one. Our buddies Steve and
so y'all gonna fish for a big billfish for what, 10 days or something?
5 days.
Five days.
Yep. We're gonna go to Cape Verde, West Africa. It's islands off of West Africa. Cape Verde is actually its own country. So, but yeah, we're gonna go try for a grander. And the bite in early June, amazing. I mean, it was nothing for them to get 10 in a day, and they dang, killed two of them already that were granders.
Granders,
they hooked one.
That's big time.
That's big time, and then
that's a giant fish, isn't it?
Ooh,
1,000 pound
buddy.
Plus marlin. Oh my gosh,
that's
a beast.
That's one of the things, you know. You catch a grander, you're in the history books, you know. And
yeah, they look prehistoric, man. Wonder how old
sure
one of
do.
Those are.
Yeah, that's a good question. But
man, here we go again on age, like last week. All right, let me knock this break out. You got time to hang with me?
You bet, absolutely.
All right, I'll be right back at you, Jeff. Hang on, buddy.
Okay.
All right. BigCashSnapper.com. You know, the Big Cash Snapper Tournament, it's wrapping up its first annual series with a free entry snapper tournament. That's right, folks. No entry fee. Fish anywhere along the Texas coast on Friday, September 5th. That's from 6 a.m. to 4 p.m. And bring in your best three snapper to the weigh-in at Rusty Hook Ranch in Matagorda on Saturday, the next day, September 6th. Have them in by 6 p.m. for weigh-in. First place, $5,000. Second place, $2,500. Third place, $1,500. And they'll have side pots for Big Snapper, King, Ling, and Dorado. Then join in after the weigh-in for food, live music, and a fundraiser for the Hookspit Junior Anglers Association. You can find details at BigCashSnapper.com. That's BigCashSnapper.com. Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. It is 4:36 here in the Bayou City on an early Sunday morning. All right, Jeff Naylor, we're back, man.
Back in action, back in action.
Yeah, that deal you sent me, they had a total of 108 fish in that Legends tournament, 48 sails and 24 white marlin. So the rest of them were blues?
The rest of them were blues. And that was the release now. That doesn't count the kill pot. I think there was a couple, at least one that I saw caught or killed, excuse me. Now, I'm pretty sure it was part of, don't hold me to that one. May have been just.
Yeah, I was looking this morning. I didn't see anything on it.
You know, just to put things in perspective, though, that was down in at Bisbee's last week. There's 82 boats, 3 total days of fishing, and 3 black marlin and 1 blue marlin were caught. So that was out of 82 boats down there in some of the primest territory in all the ocean. And, you know, the Legends tournament was 108 releases, 36 blue marlin, and there was only 38 boats in that.
He said, I think they may have hit 40 boats, but I'm not sure. So, yeah, it was under 40 boats caught all those billfish. That's nuts.
That's insane. That's insane. And, you know, that's a great thing for our.
The old Mother Guff, she's alive and well, huh?
She sure is, man. And, you know, it's things like that really spark up the tournament drives again, you know, and it's been slow. I mean, it's just gradual taper the last 4 or 5 years, you know, of all the, you know, since Poco Bueno went away years ago, you know, and some of the bigger tournaments kind of lost their edge. And tournaments, as you well know, they go through, you know, changes and, you know, management changes and different perspectives and stuff like that. So, you know, when you get a good couple years where there's a lot of bites, a lot of releases, you know, it certainly helps for the following year. And people want to be a part of that. And, you know,
think
Texas
our billfish, Jeff, have weathered the storm down in the Caribbean and Mexico waters where they're into that release now instead of killing everything? You think that's helped us in the Gulf too?
Oh, hugely. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you know, look at the historic data. I mean, places like Peru and, you know, places where those granders used to be, you know, around every corner, you know, and they killed them for so many years. Now they're depleted, completely gone, you know.
Right.
And that, yeah, absolutely. All those, you know, and it just goes back to the, you know, what we always talk about being playing your part, you know. Take what you need, not what you need to put in a picture. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And they'll be there
what
forever.
What are y'all having for dinner tonight? Fried marlin.
Yeah. And I don't, you know, they say that white marlin are actually pretty good to eat. I've actually, personally, we've kept a few sailfish on some charters that people just wanted to have sailfish. And really, that meat is really oily. I'm not a big fan of it. I tried marlin. They say down in, you know, areas in the Caribbean and stuff like that, they're a little bit different. I don't find that to be the case. I'm not a big fan of it.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're just majestic animals. Those things.
I mean, who wants to kill the king of the sea, man? I mean, you know, sometimes you do in these tournaments, but as far as table fare purposes, there's no need in it.
No, it's they look a lot better swimming around.
Not when you can bring a good tuna or a Dorado in, you know.
Right? No kidding. You know, and speaking of tuna bite has been fairly slow too. It's been, you know, Megan's got the leaderboard right now at the 70-something pound yellowfin, and through all the tournaments, she's still leading. So that's odd. Now, that is the one odd thing, you know. So something that happens right now this time of year is all the little tiny tunas, the little baby spawned out tunas, they're on the shelf. So a friend of mine, Shane Cantrell, he's been out with A&M University the last few weeks. They actually go out there and they troll around some of the deeper rigs. And then what they're trying to do is trying to catch the small tuna to decide what phases of life they're in and that, and all that kind of stuff to determine what our stocks are out here. And so the stocks, they say, are really good, but he did tell me that they are fairly juvenile, you know. So I don't know, generally speaking, those big marlin, especially the blues and stuff like that, that would probably be their main food source, you know, is these small tunas. And I think that's also what brings them up to the shelf is those. So, you know, I don't know what the deal is with the yellowfin bite this summer. It's been kind of off, but it certainly hasn't stopped the big marlins, which is, you know, a positive, I guess. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I hope that this drives more than just tournaments too. You know, everybody in the golf, they see these kind of things. And really, to be completely honest with you, the bite in the golf has been really good as far as marlin go. I mean, up and down, starting over in the Mississippi and Florida tournaments and everything's. We've had some really big fish caught this year. We've had several in the 800s, or I say several. There's been a couple that were in the 800s. You know, and those are those big females, and so that's what you really want to see. You want to see at least a few of those, and you know then our Gulf waters are really good. So let's hope they stay around, because that's great. And one thing, luckily, knock on wood, we haven't had to deal with yet is a real bad storm come through. Of course, that can change as soon as it does, but you know, we've gotten real lucky here and skated past without even a scare, so... gosh, I hope
James
I didn't just
did text me and said there was a one marlin killed in that tournament, and it was a 400 plus. It was 106 inches.
Yeah, and that's a great one. That's a good one. You know, that was one of the last tournaments. You know, along our coastline, it'll start tapering off quite a bit, but. You know, I would say overall, the billfish bite for the summer for this tournament series this year been absolutely amazing. And, you know, the other fish are starting to snap. So, man, hey, it's a good time to be in Texas. That's all I can tell you. Right now is a great time to be in Texas.
Well, I just read up on the age of a blue marlin. There was a 1,200-pounder caught. It's a Pacific blue marlin. It was 1,245 pounds. It was 12 foot long. It was caught in Honolulu back in 2009. And a NOAA scientist aged it, and it was only 20 years old. How about that?
So, isn't that amazing
how they can grow so fast? Think, huh?
Yeah. You know, it's so strange, the growth patterns of fish. You know, I always tell the story about how I doing a lot of tile fishing when we first really got started. We were doing a lot of deep dropping stuff, and I found this tile fish spot hill out there in the deep water. And man, we were just plugging them, and I hit them hard for about 2 weeks. And you know, third week I go back, they're gone. They're all gone. I mean, I can't even, not within 3 miles of this place can I find a tile fish. As it turns out, those tile fish can live up to 25, 30 years old. They're super old.
Really?
You can fish them out. You know what I mean? You kill them, they're not there anymore. You know, it takes another 20 years to get them back. So, yeah, I mean, it's very, very strange. Those deep water, and again, I mean, it kind of makes sense, though, because it's so cold down there in the dark deep. I mean, the metabolism just has to be super slow, you know, just due to the coldness, you know. So yeah, a lot of those deep water fish, they'll live for a long time. A Warsaw grouper is another one that lives for a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then all of a sudden you got the blue marlin that's 1200 pounds and he's, you know, 20
years
old.
How about that?
What do you say? I know I asked this last year, last week, but what is the age of a, you know, 32-inch trout in general?
Man, well, I'm going to figure, depends on where he's caught. Probably down the Baffin area, Mansfield area, probably a 9 to 10-year-old fish. And, you know, that's about the lifespan of these big trout. Kind of, they're real similar, you know, age-wise and comparative to, you know, white-tailed deer, you know, a buck.
Sure.
And it depends on their environment and how hard a life they've had. That goes with everything.
Sure.
Including humans.
Yeah. You bet.
You lived on the edge all your life. Chances are you're not going to make it too long. You're going to be one of the early ones.
Oh, man. Yeah, yeah, 100%. It's a tough life being a fish, you know. But, yeah, I mean, in
especially
the growth
these
rate
days,
of,
as plugged in as everybody is, and man, there's just no hiding spots for fish anymore. I get a lot of pressure. You were telling me the Gulf's been pretty crowded, huh?
Man, there's a pile of people. It's a beautiful weather, beautiful weekend, and it's right before, you know, school starts and all that. So everybody's trying to get the last little whammy in, I'm sure.
I can't believe my grandson started school this past week.
It's crazy.
I'm telling you.
And
seems like he just got out of school.
Yeah, it's that time of the year, man. And so I think that's probably exaggerating, you know, a little bit.
Everybody getting their licks in. Yeah.
Yeah, everybody getting them in. One last go, which is great. You know, man, everybody, don't forget, snapper season, it lasts till August or September 15th. So you got another month or so to go. And then, of course, amberjack season starts on September 1st. So you got that right around the corner. With the 15 days split where you can actually get both. So, yeah, I mean, it's pretty, I mean, Mickey, to be completely honest with you, man, we didn't fish at all, hardly in June, it seems like. We fished a little bit at the beginning of July.
I mean, the hardcore guys with the giant boats, sure, but man, it June was just, what a wash.
It was tough. Yeah, it was nothing. I think
Sharky went a couple of times and, as young and healthy as he is, and he was beat up. He didn't like it.
Oh, boy. I can only imagine.
Need to radio in and get a bigger boat.
Yeah. It's so, you know, everybody, you know, all of a sudden you get some good weather, man, and it's just going to pile the people everywhere, which is just, they're right. You know, everybody's been housed up long enough. They want to go out and have some fun. I don't blame them. You know, and good for these guys too. I'm happy to see that the shrimp boat bite is turning on pretty good right now. There's lots of them. I mean, Mickey, there's more. I'd better say there's more in the Gulf than I've seen in the last couple of years. I mean, there's a bunch.
Really?
You've got several that are up on. Yeah, there's got to be at least 15 between Freeport and Matagorda. You know, or excuse me, between Freeport and Sargent's. I mean, there's a whole.
Yeah, back in the day, I remember they'd be 15 tighter up around one rig out there. Remember how many there used to be way back in the day? Golly.
Oh, yeah. Unreal. And, you know, hopefully that means that the shrimping business and shrimping industry is doing okay here in Texas. And I hope those guys all the best.
Well, I think I heard some good news. You know, all these imported shrimp that last administration cut a deal with, $2 billion worth, or don't quote me on this, but you know, I'd read up on it and it just flooded the market and it just drove the price down for the guys trying to make a living here in America. And I think now with some kind of a tariff, it's going to drive the price back up for the, you know, the American shrimpers, where they can actually make a living doing that hard work. So that's a good thing. It'll get rid of all these imports. And you can tell. I mean, you go to, you know, a big supermarket and buy those, I guess, farm-raised. I don't know what they are. They don't taste the same as Gulf shrimp, I'm telling you. And just like our sweet bay shrimp, the shrimp that comes out of the bay, there's nothing better tasting than, you know, locally caught shrimp. I've always supported our shrimpers. I mean, a lot of people cuss them, go, the bycatch deal. Man, when there were so many of them, we never had better fishing than I've ever seen in my whole career, you know, when the bays were just loaded with shrimp boats.
Sure. So. Absolutely. I mean, it's a, you know, there's a lot of history here in Texas, especially with shrimping. So we always support our
family
shrimp
generations
guys.
Of shrimpers, you know?
You bet. You now bet. Absolutely.
They've become extinct.
Oh yeah. And you know, and to your point, you know, it's you know, when you see all these guys out here, they're super happy. You know, all the ones I pulled up on this year,
right,
in the last couple of weeks anyways, man, I pulled up on 11 o'clock and they're still out there in a big old pile of shrimps. That means they caught a lot.
They had a good night.
They were still digging.
Hey, when they're still on the deck and they're sitting in a pile of shrimp, they had a good night, buddy.
Yeah, they did. I pulled up on one, as a matter of fact, on Friday, and there were about 10 of them down there hovering around that pile of shrimp. And I said, man, you guys, how'd y'all do? He said, no talkie, more work.
No talkie, worky.
Yeah.
Remember back in the day, you take a case of beer out there with you to trade a shrimper for a box of shrimp, man. You give them a case of beer and they'd load a whole cooler up for you.
They've gotten strange.
Well, they don't do that much anymore. These shrimpers are living a lot better these days. They don't care about a case of beer anymore.
It's been tough, man. It's been real bleak. You know, I haven't got to trade too much. We got some off of one last weekend, I think it was. And,
right.
But that was about it, man. I've had a case of beer in there, and heck, I had to take it out of the boat yesterday because we were switching boats, and the whole box fell apart, you know, as soon as I picked it up. I said, yeah, that'd been in there too long.
Yeah. Hey, and don't take bottles offshore and, you know, bottles of beer, because the caps will pop off of them from, you know,
definitely
rough boat rides.
I
had some guys one time, they brought a cooler, and they had a bunch of bottled Miller High Life or whatever it was in there. And we get out there on the backside of the hill bank, and one of them cracked that cooler open to get him a beer, and all the caps had done, you know, popped off of them, and had slush ice, just ice with beer in it.
Oh, that's
no
classic.
Bottles, no glass that, bottles.
Jeez, man. Which I hope you wouldn't do that to begin with, just for safety reasons, but, you know.
True.
Everything's pretty much
plastic and cans these days. You don't see much glass bottle stuff. Well, except long necks.
Yeah.
Better tasting. All right, man.
Yeah.
Well, Jeff, I wish you the best today. I hope the weather hangs in there. I don't know. Keep an eye on that radar. There sure is a lot of pop-ups.
You bet.
As long as they'll stay like that, you can run around them, work around them. But,
Well,
anyway.
Give me a little wash down.
All right. Well, for South Texas Salt Life Adventures, give them some info how they can reach you, Jeff.
Yeah, man. So get a hold of us. One quick thing, too. We did our SOD trips with the vets last weekend.
Right.
Absolutely amazing. Had a great time. Their banquet is August 23rd right here at the Lake Jackson Dow Academic Center at the Brazosport College. So if you're not around, go check those guys out. Super great organization. Other than that, give us a call anytime at 979-417-1013. And just want to holler at me, whatever, man. We'll get you squared away. And, man,
cool.
Y'all go catch some fish today. Let's go kill
some. Let's do it. All right, brother. Thanks, Jeff. Enjoyed it.
You got
later,
it.
Man.
Thanks, Nick.
All right. That's Captain Jeff Naylor down in Freeport. Time for a break. You're listening to the Outdoor Show. We'll be right back.